Would you do this? Would you please open your Bible to the 11th chapter of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. For just a very few moments this morning, I want to speak on the subject of the invitation. Now, the whole Bible is an invitation to trust in God. The first invitation is actually articulated in chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 17, where Adam is given an opportunity to obey God. He's given a choice, and it's an invitation to express his faith in God. The last invitation is found in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, where the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." But the entire Bible can be centered around what the prophet Isaiah said, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth," an invitation. And in this service, as in all services, I think, here in your church, at the close of this service, we're going to have an invitation time. And you ought not to think that is strange, because it is so biblical. I'm not defending the invitation system, but I'm defending the fact that to preach the gospel or to preach the word of God and not urge people to receive Jesus is like having a safe room in your house, looking out the window as a tornado is bearing down on you, and seeing your neighbor mowing his lawn and walking out and just having a talk about weather, but never mentioning to him that he needs to run for his life and you have shelter. The Lord gave invitations. His invitations could be categorized as the invitation to salvation, the invitation to service, follow me, he said, and I'll make you to become fishers of men, and the invitation to surrender, abide in me, he said. So the Lord gave invitations. It is of no small matter that a prominent part of this auditorium is what we sometimes call the altar. An altar is a place that you die. If you're going to fall in love with a piece of furniture in church, don't fall in love with a pew. It's not mentioned in the Bible. But the altar is. It is the place where you die. And you say yes to the Lord Jesus. I pray that at the close of this service, if the Lord has spoken anything to your heart in the process of the unfolding of the Scripture, if he has said anything to you, I pray that you would be found at this altar saying yes to the Lord Jesus. Some years ago, I found myself in an East Asian country in a rather remarkable setting for this country, because in this country, being a Christian was not an easy thing. In fact, it was a good way to ensure that your life would likely be snuffed out at some point, because it was so antithetical to everything the people in that country in leadership wanted you to believe. And yet people trusted Christ, and God was at work in that country. And I found myself in the southern part of that country in a crowd. I was preaching to a crowd of approximately 2,000 people. Incredible. In that country, when you're baptized, here's a child. Let's say her dad is baptizing her. The question is asked, when they come for you and threaten to kill you unless you reject Jesus, will you say, "No, I trust him as my Savior"? "Yes, Daddy." Can you imagine? As a matter of fact, the pastor of this congregation where I was preaching, I mentioned something to him about the struggles that he had. And just as an aside, he said, after I was baptized, I spent 11 years in prison. because it was a mark on them. 11 years. I think about that when I see people who sometimes won't walk 30 feet to get to the altar because it requires death to self. The invitation. And sometimes a preacher is like an attorney arguing a case before a jury. That's what you are. And he doesn't argue a case before the jury and then say, okay, y'all go home, have a good evening. He's arguing for a verdict. And when the Lord spoke constantly, he was asking for a verdict. He was urging upon people, making a decision, saying yes to him. And so that is true about this scripture we're going to read. I thought about that as I finished my message, and here are 2,000 people. I mean, they have wires strung out in the street into apartments across the street, and I'm amazed. And we bowed our heads to pray at the close of that service, and when I looked up, over 1,000 people, a little about 1,000 people, they were gone. I thought I had offended them. I said through my interpreter, did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong? The pastor said, oh no. I'll tell you in just a minute what he did say about that. So here is Jesus. He's in a rather hostile environment. He's already pretty much castigated. People are in a couple of nearby cities, and his argument at this moment is with people who believe that their religion, going to church and doing good things, is going to solve all their problems. And the unusual thing about it is that every time they do something that their religion required, then the priest, and whether it's the Sadducees or the Pharisees or somebody, they came along with some new rules. It was endless. They were weary. How in the world do you get to God? And here is this itinerant preacher named Jesus from Nazareth, down the road. And he says, come to me. Come to me. Whoa, not the temple, not the synagogue. Come to me, all you who weary and are heavy laden. This is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I will give you rest. Oh, isn't that what you want? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. And you'll find, here it is again, rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, I pray you'd bless the preaching of your word. Cause it to do more than the mere words of a man can do. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the message this morning is incredibly simple. For just a few moments, I want to speak to you about the origin of the invitation. Where did all this come from anyway? Is this something that a bunch of Baptists got together, some preachers, and said, hey, look, why don't we start ending our services this way? Now, where did this all start, the whole idea of an invitation? And it can happen in church or in a coffee shop or across the table in your living room. Where did this start? Okay. And then we're going to be thinking together about the objective. What is the Lord's objective? Why did he give an invitation like this one, which embodies all three things that I've mentioned, salvation and surrender, or in service rather, and surrender to him. And then finally we'll look at the outcome. Suppose this morning some of you arrived knowing God was already speaking to your heart about specific issues. He is awaiting your yes. And by the way, you don't come to God when you get good and you're ready. You only come if he is ready. It's not your time frame that God's operating on. So people think that I've got all the time in the world. You don't. In fact, today may be the last. You say, oh, don't scare me. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. This could be the last. You say, well, I can live longer than that. Well, yes, but you may never be convicted again. That some decision is the decision you ought to make, that you ought to say yes, yes to Him. So let's look at the origin just for a moment. Where did all this start? The origin of the invitation. Well, first of all, the source. What is that? It's Jesus. He's saying, what? Come to me. These are his words. This was born in his heart, all right? He's verbalizing his desire. This is where the invitation began. The subject. Well, if you look at the language, you come to me. So you and I are the subject. He is the source. Now that makes that, what, pretty significant, doesn't it? Because you're not just dealing with anybody. James, one time at First Southern, I was walking out down the aisle, and the service was over, and a guy who was a reprobate guy, Jim, you would have known him. And he leaned out in the aisle, and he not because you're a reprobate, but you run with him. And so he leaned out in the aisle, and he said to me, "You almost got me, preacher." Well, A, I didn't want him. I did not want that guy. I'm not even sure his wife wanted him. He rarely ever came to church, and I wasn't trying to get him. See, his issue was between himself and God, and he missed it. He thought it was between him and between me. This is not between you and me. It's not my power, my ability to argue a case that makes a difference. This is God speaking through his Son, and it's recorded in the Scripture. He's saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. That's the issue here. That makes this incredibly significant. Dwight L. Moody, a preacher of old, was walking with a friend of his down a street one time, and he saw a drunk on the edge of a curb years ago, and he said, "Well, I'm going to witness to him." And the guy in his slurred speech says, "You don't need to witness to me. I'm one of Moody's converts." He said, "Well, that's for sure. You're definitely not one of the Lord's." See, your pastor doesn't need converts. This preacher doesn't need converts. We don't live on converts. This is not about me and you. This is about you hearing what God is speaking to your heart this morning and saying yes. And it may be about a family issue, a relationship issue, a financial issue. It may be something you're desperate to believe God about. It may be something that every time you think about it, it brings you to tears. It may be something as simple as knowing you ought to join this church. And I use the word simple because if you know you ought to join, you just ought to join. What's the deal? So that's incredibly significant. There's the origin. What's the objective? I told you this would be easy. What is the objective? What is the Lord saying to us here? Well, there are three things. First of all, yes, He wants you and me to know Him personally. He doesn't say, come to church. That's not the issue. He's not saying, come to this system. He's not saying, buy this book, try this out. He's saying, come to me. And by the way, I'm not looking for the hot shots. I'm looking for the people who admit that they're tired. All you who are weak, all you who are heavy laden, all you who have troubled hearts, all you who've got some issue on your heart, and you know that unless I resolve it, it's not going to be resolved. Yes, you come to me. But especially if you do not know that you have God's gift of eternal life. If you cannot say, I know and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I died, I'd spend my forever with God in heaven. Jesus said, I am the answer. He's the only one who could die for you because he was sinless. We can't die for each other. We're sinners. He's the only one who was raised from the grave because he paid for our sin. He's the only one who can take us to heaven and then let us spend forever in heaven. And if you do not know for sure that that is the case in your life, then he's saying, come to me. Be saved. Look unto me and be ye saved, the prophet says, all the ends of the earth. So the invitation to salvation. For some of you, it's the invitation to service. That would have to do with joining a church. Maybe you're afraid to join because, A, you lose your visitor's parking spot, and you lose your free Wednesday night meal if you all do those anymore. And number three, they might give you a job. Yeah. God might press you into service. You say, listen, the kingdom of God is the greatest enterprise in the universe. When everything else is gone, it will still be there. Don't you want to be a part of that and working with that? Of course you do. Sure you do. So it's the invitation to service. And then it's an invitation to surrender. Take my yoke upon you. Put your head right here along with me. Quit fighting. Don't buck around here. Just put it right here with me. My yoke is easy. The word there is kindly. It means there's no rough edges on it. It's not going to rub you raw. It's going to fit you perfectly. Just surrender. Say yes to me. Let me be the Lord of your life. If you do that, it will revolutionize your life. You walk with freedom and joy. And you see things happen that you would never see happen in any other fashion. Never. In a million years. Learn from me, he says. I'm gentle. I'm humble. Learn who I am and take my yoke. Let's do this, says the Lord Jesus. It would amaze you what will happen if you will do that. I stood one time, and I looked back in the, you think I'm always looking back there. You ought to think that too. You think you're in the shadows, but I can see you. But I don't always just look back there. But I looked back and I saw this couple with their three kids. I mean, you talk about drop dead gorgeous. I mean, dressed impeccably like they'd come off of a magazine cover. And after church, they came down. They're standing there. And the moment he opened his mouth, I knew the country in Africa where he had been born. I recognized the dialect just like that, just the accent. And I said, you're from? And he said, yes, I am. And I said, I've been in your country. And I said, an interesting thing happened to me. I said, I was in a school. They had invited me to this school. Here I was, an American. I said, the school was predominantly, the students were Muslim, just to be honest with you. But the Lord just said to my heart, share the gospel. You say, you can't do that. You can do anything one time, at least, right? Anything. So, I did. Then I didn't know what to do. How do you tell them to respond in faith? You shared the gospel. How do you tell them to respond in faith? They can't go home and say, hey, Mommy, Daddy, you're going to be so happy I got saved. No, you can't do that there. So I said, look, I know this is going to be trouble. So I'm going to walk around on campus. And if you want to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus, you take me by the hand, look me in the eye and say, I'm one. And this man looked at me. He's got his kids with him. He said, I know. I said, how do you know that? He said, because I'm one. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, I was there that morning. He said, but also this morning, he said, I'm a PhD student at OSU. And he said, my wife and I were watching television. And I said, that's the guy that was preaching when I was a student. When I trusted Jesus, get the kids dressed. He said, and they had driven from Stillwater down to Dell City to say, I'm one. I was one then. I'm one now. It will give your life incredible effectiveness. And joy, if you will just come to him. That's the outcome. If you come to him for salvation, what does he say? As many as come to me, what? I'll receive. I won't cast them out. He will receive you this morning. If you come to him for service and say, I want to be your disciple, he'll say, boy, do we have some work to do. Whatever age and stage in life you are. Some of you, I look around this group, some of you think you are too old to really get involved. I have a friend who passed away last year at the age of 101. He was almost 102. And I said to him 6 weeks, he was still planning on running a foot race. You saw him run a race on Fox. He was still planning on running this race. And he 6 weeks before he died. And I said, Orv, you got anything for me? He said, yeah. He said, I been reading about these NFL games that were lost or changed because some stupid player started celebrating too early. He looked at me and said, Tom, don't celebrate too early. Heavens for that. Until now, keep running. Just say yes to him for service. And for surrender. You'll find rest in Christ. Just surrender to his lordship. Take his yoke upon you. That's what the invitation is about. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Oh, by the way, before you do, and before you make up your mind that you won't say yes to God, here's what the pastor said. Oh, those people. I said, yeah, the thousand that have left and gone, where are they? He said, we're about to have the Lord's Supper. And we know you shouldn't have the Lord's Supper unless you've openly confessed Christ through baptism, which paints a mark on you. He said, those people who left, they're not ready to die yet. Are you? Let's pray together. Father, I pray, trusting your Holy Spirit would move in power in our hearts and in our lives. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be so gracious, Lord, to open people's hearts to salvation and to service and to surrender.